When people think of Vegas, they think of bright lights, casinos, gambling, high roller suites, megastars, the entertainment capital of the world. And, yeah, maybe hookers.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get laid!
Sorry, Mom, it was only one time. It won't happen again. No longer will everything being said and done in Vegas stay in Vegas.
You know, they say, like, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But just so you know, like, if we bone, I'm telling everybody.
It's time for Nick's Just Saying, the podcast.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Tackling topics in sports, entertainment, politics, and life, Nick will present it with a laugh.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
He's more like a middle-aged man that thinks he's funny and sexy hitting on me at the bar, wearing a silk shirt that's unbuttoned and his chest hair and gold chains are showing. Ugh.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
You can listen to, follow, and subscribe to Nick's Just Saying, the podcast, at nicksjustsaying.podbean.com. And follow him on Facebook and Twitter at Nick's Just Saying. Nick's Just Saying, the podcast, is on the air. I sure hope Nick doesn't screw this show up today. Just saying.
Man, hello and welcome. Thanks for the vote of confidence there, Amanda. We are rolling on, and we have a fantastic lineup for you today. Really excited to have my guest on with us, and I thought we'd give you a little taste of some of his comedic genius prior to bringing him on.
She really is. She has magical powers, I should tell you this. She has this stuff, I call it the magic wife dust. All wives have a stash of this powerful magic dust I have learned over the years, and you can do many things with it, and she does, but what she loves to do most is sprinkle the magic wife dust on a word. Then she speaks the word, and then the word magically changes meaning. Like the word we, W-E, that means you and I, right? We do something together, both of us, right? Wrong. She changes. She sprinkled the wife dust on it. She says things like, we need to cut the grass. Sweetheart, I love you, but who the hell are you talking to? We need to paint the garage. Well, why don't we jump right on that, huh? Bet we paint the garage while we stand there and tell us we're doing it wrong. I make fun of her, but I don't know what I would do without her. I really do. I don't know what I would do without her. She's a fantastic part of my act. I know that. You know. When I was single, I actually had to write material. Now I just go home, irritate her, and write down what she does. You know? I know a lot of guys say this next part. I don't know if they mean it, but I do. My wife is more beautiful today than the day we met, and it is not even close, man. It's not even close. She looked like crap that day. That was... I'll say I'm happily married. Single guys will come up to me after the show and say, oh, I'm glad you're happy, but I don't want to get married. I don't want to have sex with the same woman every night of the week. Don't worry, Junior, you won't.
Oh, and that is some great stuff from our guest here, my friend. He's been a longtime contributor, easy for me to say, to my program for many years, and just happy to have him joining us on the Nick's Just Saying the podcast, my comedian friend, Stephen Thomas. How are you, Stephen?
I am doing well, my friend. Good to be back with you, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You know, I've had a little Stephen Thomas withdrawal lately. I've missed you.
Well, it's easy to get over. What you want to do is just put on the simplest, silliest fart jokes you can find, and it's like I'm right there in the room with you.
Hey, and that cut that we played, although I pulled that offline, that's from your CD, Magic Wife Dust, which I'm showing to the Facebook Live crowd right now that you recorded here in Vegas, and... Yeah, people can get that, right? They can go online still and get that, can't they?
Absolutely. It's on, they can get it on iTunes and Amazon, and it's on Sirius XM, or you can get it on my website at middleindy.com. MarriedGuy.com. There's a million places you can get it. So if anyone wants to do that so I don't have to work anymore, I would greatly appreciate it.
I'd love that. And I'll just remind folks, I'm on it for about a half a second, you know, introing you. So that made – I got a credit, which is the only credit in life I've ever received, by the way.
Well, think about this. If it wasn't for you, that would have never happened because I wouldn't have known when to go on stage. So it's all because of you, Nick.
I love it. Thank you so much. You know, I want to preface the start of today's podcast with one disclaimer, okay? And I would like to start there. And if you hang up on me, I'll understand why. But I will promise you, my friends, that Stephen nor myself will do anything with our comedic comments that will resemble images of a world leader being beheaded on this program today. I promise that won't happen.
No, we're actually going to try to be funny. That would be the major difference there.
That would be something that would change. But we'll leave that alone. I don't want to get too deep into that at this point in time. But I just I find it interesting. But Stephen, you know, let's start. Okay, I want to start on the sports front. First off, for those of you that don't know Stephen Thomas. As I do, and most of America who lives a very sad existence in the sports world, i.e. Cleveland, you're a lifelong Cleveland fan, and the NBA Finals getting going, and you actually, did you ever in your life, you have a chance to be world champions in back-to-back years in the NBA, and I thought I would never say anything with back-to-back champions, even a possibility for the city of Cleveland.
No, I'm pretty convinced that I died last June 18th, and this is all just a dream, because there's just no way, you know, based on the first 50 years of my life that this happened. But it's been a pretty incredible run the last 12 months or so. I will say this, before game one, I will say this. I mean, of course I want them to win, and I'm going to be rooting hard for them, and that would be great. But the weight that was lifted off the shoulders of the entire city of Cleveland last June 19th was very, very real. I have my championship. 40 years from now, when they're planting me in the ground, if that's the only one, I'll be okay with that. The monkey is gone. The weight is lifted. It was the most incredible sports moment of my life, and I'll be okay if that happens to be the only one. Now, that being said, of course I want them to win. I mean, they're going up against Golden State, who, I mean, yeah, there's so many varying opinions about Golden State, but they're obnoxious and they're arrogant and they're unlikable. They're all of those things, but they're also really, really good at playing basketball. In my opinion, right now, heading in, and you know, you never want to undersell any team with LeBron James on it, but the Cavs are going to have to hit shots because the Warriors are going to light them up on defense. They're going to score points. There's just no way around it.
Yeah.
If the Cavs are hitting shots, they're the only team in the NBA that can keep up with them. And then if it's close in the fourth quarter, you've got LeBron and you've got Kyrie Irving who, you know, I mean, it'll be a shootout with Curry and Durant on the other side. They're the only guys that can keep up with them. But if the Cavs are not hitting shots, this could not go well.
That's true.
And I will be heavily leaning on last June 19th, and that'll be okay.
Okay. Hey, we've got Stephen Thomas with us. By the way, some people chiming in. We've got folks on here from San Francisco watching. We got the East Coast. Mike is here. Mike made a comment to me. Stephen, this is – and you've known me for a while now. You never see me with a baseball cap on my head. You know, my flat top usually prevails.
Right.
I'm having a bad hair day. I need to get to the barber. I didn't make it yesterday or today, so I'm actually wearing a hat. And I'm getting comments that that Mike especially in I believe Mike said, I don't know, Mike in Maryland, I think that's where he is, that he said to me he's proud that I'm actually wearing a hat because I always give him a hard time about that. I don't wear hats. So I'm in a PGA hat today.
Well, how do you have a bad hair day? I've never seen your hair longer than a quarter of an inch. How is that even possible?
Well, that's the problem. And if I show this to the people on Facebook, now the hat's on, it's going to be a mess. But I'm a little long today. It's about a half to three quarters of an inch tall right now. That's too long. So I put a cap on because I have an image to uphold, and you know, most people expect to be able, you know, to play, I don't know, croquet on my head, something like that, a putting green, whatever it is.
A half an inch long. What are you going to Woodstock, you hippie?
No, jeez, it's a sex. It's a sex dream I have.
Ah,
you know.
All right. So unlike normal, when it's my wife, now today it's your wife that's a little sick to her stomach. All right.
Well, actually, my wife has been sick to her stomach for about 4 or 5 days now, and I thought it was me. It may be, but I'm blaming it on some bad food.
Yeah, but let's just go with the scallops.
Yeah. Funny you said that. That might have been what it was. Stephen Thomas with us, though. But you know, from a sporting angle, though, you know, you in Cleveland, when I just keep getting nothing but comments now, Chad, about my hat, because I don't wear hats, and I've made a big thing about not wearing hats. Now everyone's asking me about my hat. Okay, look, I'm too sexy to usually wear a hat, but we're wearing it today. Just, I'm sorry to interrupt this whole thing, but this stinking podcast sometimes gets derailed, you know. But much like my show always was.
Folks, I can vouch for that.
Yeah, now I'm being told, shave my head. Don't worry about hair days. No, I have a lot of hair. I want to keep it, although it's all gray. Steven, I don't want to say anything, but you're getting you're getting to that graying time in your life, aren't you?
Oh, I have gone from salt and pepper to mostly salt at this point. Yes.
I get. Hey, and speaking of which, hey, we've got Stephen Thomas, fine comedian, actor, you know, he does it all. And even crazy Cleveland Brown draft geek. We'll get into that later, too. But, Stephen, I want to congratulate you, though, on your daughter's graduation, who is getting set to go be a Division I volleyball player.
Yes, she graduated high school this past weekend. I'll do a little dad bragging here. You never have to prod me twice to do that, as any father does. super, super proud of her, and you know, graduated with over a 4.3, and won all kinds of awards and all America watch lists and athletically and everything. But yeah, she got herself a full ride scholarship to go play in the MAC on the East Coast. And, you know, as most dads are, I could not be more proud of her. I'm wondering, as I look, you know, I look at the pictures from her graduation weekend, who the old chubby dude is standing next to her with the gray hair. I don't know who that dude was.
I thought it was your dad.
It's interesting because now we're empty nesters. And after... any parent out there knows your life just changes and it becomes, you know, everything focuses around the kids, especially if they're in activities. And my wife and I are looking at each other. We're like, what the hell are we supposed to do now? I don't even know if we like each other anymore. So
I have a good divorce attorney that I could, you know, set you up with.
No, I let's talk about that off the air. She might be listening.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. But, you know, let me get into a couple of topics here. I still can't get over everybody is picking on the hat and the hair stuff today. See, I mean, serious. They're just all here. But I'm happy that they're just here. The fact that anyone in America wants to watch me on Facebook Live while I talk to you, Stephen Thomas, is just baffles me. Not the you part, Stephen Thomas, because you are a talented entertainer of the ilk that I can never dream to be. But to watch me sitting here in a cap in the studio, it amazes me.
I'm going to agree. Yeah, I have no idea. Oh, you're a great host. You know that. You have been for, I don't know, how many years have you been doing this?
I don't know.
And I'm always happy and proud to be a contributor and a part of your show. And I mean, you know, let's be honest, it's better looking at you than me.
Well, I don't know. We may be neck and neck on that. Turkey neck and neck. I don't know what they would say. But, hey.
Neither of us are chick magnets. Yeah.
Hey, and you
that
know,
way?
One of the things, and I was hoping to get you last week, but your daughter had the graduation, but this is still a fitting week. We just come off of Memorial Day, and Memorial Day weekend, traditionally, the big tradition for Memorial Day weekend outside of the picnics and the reflection and such is the Indianapolis 500. And
right.
You and I we're absolutely beyond blessed that 2 years ago with my show that you got to accompany me as well, and we went as the guests of Bridgestone Firestone to the Indy 500 and partook in everything. And I tell people, having done that now, and it's something that I always thought I might want to do, but I wasn't sure if it was totally in my bucket list. But after doing that, I look at that event in such a different way, because and I think you do too, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'd love your thoughts. But I look at it now and I go, I don't know. It would be very hard pressed for me to ever find an event that is, I don't know, here's, it's going to sound corny, so eventful. I don't know what the word is, but just that there's so much great stuff that goes on around that. And it's just, it was an amazing trip. And I know that you and I talk about that all the time. And after watching it again this weekend, I really realized how lucky we were.
It was legit one of the greatest sporting events I've ever attended in my life. And for anybody out there listening, I'm not into racing. You know what? I'm not really either. I'm a casual racing fan at best. But, you know, when you called me up and we went, it was, I mean, we said, you know, when we were flying back afterwards, we said, I can't find the words to describe how awesome that was. And it's 2 years later. And like you just said, I still can't find the words. It was the entire weekend, the people at Firestone Racing. Now, granted, we had the VIP treatment. You know, we got into the, you know, the good pre-race this, and we got to go on the track and everything because we were working and broadcasting, you know, courtesy of Firestone. But even if you just go and hang, you know, and just buy regular grandstand seats, it was, I mean, from the minute we stepped on that track for practice rounds and you hear how indescribably loud and how fast, you can't see them. You're standing there, you know, not in pit row, but, you know, just around the fence right next to pit row, and you know they're coming around the corner. You know, you can hear it. You're looking. You squint as hard as you can, and they're still past you before you see them. It's, I've never seen anything like it. I would go back again in a heartbeat, and if you're out there, that is definitely a bucket list. Even, like I said, even if you're not a racing fan, go and see it. It is just tremendous. They call it the greatest spectacle in racing, and there's no way to argue with that. No. I tell anybody who asks me, and I'm sure you do too, if you have the money, go.
Yeah, and Stephen, that's how I feel. It brings me to something I'm talking about is, you know, we look at bucket list events in our life, whether it's sports or whatever it is. You know, and I think about some of them, Stephen, and, you know, as I said, I thought the Indy 500 might be on the list. I wasn't sure. Now I tell everybody, boy, if it's not and you're any type of a sports fan, you're crazy, because it is great. But, you know, I look around and I try to figure some of my bucket list items. One of my big bucket list items that I was extremely disappointed by, I have to be honest with you, and no, it wasn't me having sex with anyone else, okay? This was just a disappointment at a different level.
That was disappointing for them. That was disappointing for them. That's a different kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly. But I had an opportunity, I guess it was 7 years ago now, 6 years ago now. I'm getting old, I can't remember. But I had an opportunity to do a show live. I was going to the Kentucky Derby, and I was going to do the show live on Friday at the Oaks and then stay for the Kentucky Derby. This is when I worked in Chattanooga. And I proceeded, and I was pumped. I'm planning this trip all year. I'm working with the public relations department. We've got everything set. I'm going to Louisville. I'm going to the Kentucky Derby. And I get there. And first off, it's a sea of humanity. People park on lawns of the people around there who charge you $25 to park on their lawn next to their Lazy Boy and their Weber grill. Okay? They do. It's true. It's true. It's crazy. And I have all this equipment. I can't get into the main parking lot. So I get there, right? And I get there and I pay $25 to park I don't know, I think the guy owned the 7-Eleven, park in his parking lot on his grass, because he gave me a hoagie when I left. So I thought I was a hint, he might have owned it, I wasn't sure. And, and, And so then I have to pay a guy because I can't carry all the equipment, and I get a guy with a golf cart. These guys with golf carts are running around, and I pay him another $25 to take me and my equipment to the gate at Churchill Downs so I can get in the broadcast, and he gets me through it, and I get there, and I got about 2.5 hours to spare to get set up. I get in there, and they go, "We don't have record of you coming to broadcast today." Okay, so I go there. Now I'm pissed. They're looking for the guy. They got no place. And boy, I'm fuming. And I didn't want to get locked up in Kentucky, so I didn't do what really I wanted to do. And I thus had to retreat, pay that guy on the golf cart another $25 to take me and the equipment back to my car. Now, unpark my car from where I paid $25 and retreat back to my hotel room to instead do a broadcast from my hotel room and not Churchill Downs. So my bucket list just kicked the bucket.
I am shocked that that is not what happened to us, because that sounds like a story that I would be involved in. That's just, but is it, was it more, it wasn't the Derby that was disappointing.
No.
It was the fact that, so is it still on your bucket list to go?
Well, it would be, yeah, I guess, but it would definitely not be to broadcast there. I would never go through that again. But it would be on my bucket list. But it was just left a very bad, I don't know, maybe as a horse manure taste in my mouth.
That seems appropriate. A horse manure julep. That sounds about right.
Yeah, and the hat I was going to wear, if I would have run into the proper person, the hat they would have worn would have been my foot protruding out of their mouth after it was inserted in their rear end, okay, and it went all the way up to the top of their head, because
I hope
that
never happens to me, because the Derby is one of the things on my, you know, and I'm sure it probably is for most people, it's one of the things on my sporting bucket list events, you know. I don't know. I mean, what would be, obviously, you know, everybody has Super Bowl, World Series, NBA Finals,
right,
NHL Finals, that kind of stuff. But for me, you know, some of the more specific things, Masters, Ryder Cup, play around at St. Andrews. I'm a big football guy, so I would love once to go to Army-Navy or Harvard-Yale.
Okay, I've been to Army-Navy back in the day when it was at the old JFK in Philadelphia. I've been there.
Right. But, yeah, Harvard, Yale, or Lehigh Lafayette, which is the oldest football rivalry in the country, that would be cool to go to. Or, you know, like go to a North Carolina Duke basketball game at Cameron and sit, you know, as close as you can to the students to
the
do
crazies.
That. Or, you know, no, I think everybody should go to Lambeau Field and Notre Dame Stadium and Wrigley and Fenway. And I'd love to go to, like, the Field of Dreams field in Iowa.
Oh, man.
You know, or
How great would that be to be there? And here comes Shoeless Joe out of a cornfield to talk to you.
That would actually be kind of frightening, because I think I would be dead at that point. So now, if I was there and Kevin Costner showed up, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Ray Liotta.
You know, is he not the king of sports movies?
Oh yeah, well, he's one of the few guys out there that can pull it off and not look like an actor. He actually has some athletic ability. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you watch these baseball movies and you're like, or golf movies or whatever, and you're like, that is the worst. What you are, so unathletic, I can't even buy you as a character. But you know, Costner played ball growing up, if I remember right. So
yeah,
he looked like a ball player.
Yeah, well, you know, we're talking with Stephen Thomas, fine comedian here with us. But Stephen, you know, when he did the movie for Love of the Game, the clips in the beginning of the movie that show him, like, as a kid with his parents, that's really him as a kid with his real parents, you know, tossing the ball with them, and they blended it in to the beginning of that movie.
Right, yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Well, you know.
You know?
Now, if you had a chance to play a part, Stephen Thomas, in a sports movie, who would you want to portray?
One that's already been made, or my choosing?
Well, you're choosing. Like, you get to star in a sports movie that's about to be told. Give me what you would like to be in a movie that hasn't been done. Also, tell me, in a movie that's been done, what role would you have loved to have?
Oh, holy mackerel. I don't know. Probably... I don't know. Joe Montana would be pretty cool.
Oh, wow. What would you call that?
Golden Joe? I have no idea.
And for people that don't know, that also comes into your Notre Dame fandom part as well.
Sure. Okay. Oh, lifelong Golden Homer. Absolutely.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. If we were going to make like a Cleveland movie, I would, you know, maybe Brian Sipe is the story of the Cardiac Kids of 1980, wow. That kind of thing.
Brian Sipe. Would anybody know who you are?
Just in Cleveland. That would be it. It would be released in 9 theaters in Northeast Ohio, and that would be all. That would be it.
Brian Sipe. I didn't even know. I forgot that name existed, with all due respect to Mr. Sipe.
Well, as a Cleveland Browns fan, that's like the second to last good season we had. So, you know, we still remember everything about that.
So in a movie that has been made, what role would you have loved to play?
Oh, my goodness. Boy,
there's a bunch, I'm sure.
Spot here.
I'm racking your brain.
Well, I would say something in Miracle, but I can't ice skate. So that would
okay.
They probably wouldn't cast me in that. How about, I don't know, how about The Wild Thing in Major League?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we talk about, yeah, now that would have been, that, you know, and there would, I think we could have, you know, I think they could have, you know, toughened you up to look okay for that role.
Yeah, that, or, you know, since we're old guys, we can go back, play, and we were just talking about Costner. How about Costner's role in Bull Durham?
That's the one I like.
Sports movie ever.
I would have loved to have been Crash Davis.
Yeah.
Crash Davis, because he had lines for everything.
Yeah, he got to do everything. And, you know, he got to play ball a little bit. He got to, you know, get in a bathtub with Susan Sarandon, and that's never a bad thing, you know.
Did you see that her and Tim Robbins finally split up in this past year after like 22 years?
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Who knows? You know, I got enough to worry about with my own marriage. I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Well, you Hollywood types. You Hollywood types.
You know? Yeah. Well, you know, me and Tim Robbins, Hank, we run in the same circles.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
Okay. Well, I know you do, you know, because I know you're a big-time act, you know, and for people that don't know, I mean, Steven is a big-time actor. There's no doubt. You've seen him. I love his commercial. Makes me want to eat a hot dog.
We're
tourists.
But we already feel like locals.
Well, we've seen the best thing in New York.
Yeah,
the chili cheese dog at Burger King.
How you doing?
Forget about it.
Introducing Flame Grilled Chili Cheese Grilled Dogs from Burger King. Topped with hearty chili and cheddar cheese. Get them now, only at Burger King.
Stephen Thomas with his great commercial debut there. Now, I don't know if it was his debut, but his big Burger King commercial. You made me want to eat hot dogs. How you doing?
Well, you know, I've got a lot of acting training that makes people want to eat hot dogs, you know. So, we're trying out here. A couple small movies and, you know, TV stuff here and there. But, you're really stretching the definition of big time there, my friend.
Well, if you like hot dogs, that's big time.
That's pretty big time.
Right?
I'm telling
you were part of, I mean, let's listen. When you say American fast food, you know, McDonald's, Burger King are there. So you were for one of the big guys.
I will say this, and I hope this doesn't sound like I'm bragging, but as far as hot dog commercials about Burger King, I would definitely put mine in the top 10 all time. Let's just put it that way.
Now, when you do a commercial like that, and you have a commercial wife, TV wife, do you have to sleep with her to get a feel for things?
Well, you don't have to, but any good actor will.
Stephen Thomas with us here. I don't know what the hell we're just talking about, but I enjoy it. Makes me laugh. Stephen, no one is here anymore. They've all left the live post, but we'll we're having fun, and that's all that I care about. Okay, because life is
pretty much
what's
like
in
all
it for
of
me.
My shows.
I'm losing my whole stinking brain. My mind is just worn out. Oh boy! Hey, can you hang on? I want to reset this. Come back. I want to play another little clip. A real not a Burger King commercial. A little clip for you. And I want you I want to come back and I want to talk a little sitcoms with you. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
Follow Nick on Facebook Live at Nick's Just Saying the Podcast and on Twitter at Nick's Just Saying. You'll see just how hot Nick looks on there. Nick asked me to sound sexy like this to stroke his ego a little more.
Baby, you better run me back to the hotel.
What an idiot. Just saying.
Hey, I don't know if you guys saw this. This was just a couple of days ago. True story. It was in the paper. Guy made the news right around here. 106-year-old man. And he made the news for one reason. He made the news because at 106, he quit smoking. Why? If you're 36, yeah, quit. 106? Dude, you won, man. It's not like smoking is gonna take you before your time. I don't know about you, I think at 106, we've earned the right to smoke whatever the hell we want, man. Dude, get some Cuban cigars or a bag of weed. Give that crack a try. Why not? If I live that long, I'm not quitting anything. I'm going down guns blazing, folks. If I'm lucky enough to survive 106 rotations around the sun, I'm going to Vegas. That's where I'm making my last stand. I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to the Bunny Ranch. I'm going to say, here's my ATM card. You girls take turns jumping on me until I simply don't respond. All the older guys, yeah, that's genius. Write that down. Write that.
Stephen Thomas, fine comedian, joining us on the program today. And you could always pick up Stephen's CD. Hang on. Let me show it to the folks here that are watching, at least, as well as listening. Stephen Thomas's Magic Wife Dust. You can get that wherever great CDs are sold. You can get it at his website. Stephen with us. Tell folks the website. They can get it at again.
MiddleAgedMarriedGuy.com.
MiddleAgedMarriedGuy.com. And it's a great... The only thing I ever wanted to know, has anyone ever tried to snort the CD cover?
Not to my knowledge. But if you're holding it up and people can see, a shoot like that took about an hour. I can't explain how long it took the glitter and to get the glitter and the powder out of my hair and out of my eyes. That was unbelievable. It was a brutal experience.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine. I hate glitter. That's one of the things I hate. Like, you know, if you try to cheat on your wife with a young girl today, you're always going to get glitter on you, and it's always a problem for most of us.
I wouldn't know. Young girls won't let me in the same room with them. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, well, you know, but if you break in to never mind, I won't talk about that. That's another side of me none of us want to know about.
Probably it's up there with the hair.
Yeah, you know, and I sure hope my kids aren't listening right now. I'm praying they're not listening. Okay?
Let's move on.
It's but anyway, Stephen, you know, first off, you know, you mentioned it earlier, and I know you know, like a lot of comedians and actors out there, I mean, everyone hopes to be someday, I would think, a comedic actor. Everyone wants that one great sitcom. Is your great sitcom coming soon?
I would hope so. I mean, I've been doing stand-up for over 20 years now, and really been working on my acting technique and my coaching and everything the last few years at Scott Sedita Acting Studios in Hollywood on Larchmont. Little clip there.
Go for it. You want to read a full commercial? Does he take credit cards? What's the deal?
I'm hoping that Scott will give me a discount on my next class session for pumping it up here like this.
But, we'll send him a clip.
That's not for every stand-up, but for a lot of us, that is the goal. I came of age back in the golden age of stand-ups getting sitcoms, you know, when everybody got one, Cosby, Roseanne, Home Improvement, that whole, the 80s and 90s when stand-ups got sitcom, Raymond, you know, yeah. When everybody got them and they were great. So that would be fantastic, but the industry's changing so much, I don't know if that's going to happen again. It's a different world with the Netflix style of show out there now.
Yeah, and you know, Stephen, you mentioned a lot of those, great ones. The only thing, do you believe they're going to bring Roseanne back? How are you going to undead Dan? I mean, what is it? Was it all a dream for six, seven, 8 years?
Well, it's... it's going to be interesting, but there's been rumors that, you know, if you remember back then, and we're old enough to actually remember, in the finale, she didn't actually say he was dead, if I remember right. She said something like, I lost Dan the next year. So they could spin that as they just broke up and he took off or something like that.
Losing Dan ain't easy. He's easy to spot.
Yes, yeah. It's not like he can hide behind a telephone pole.
No. And then they're going to have to bring back, you know, I mean, Darlene's got to come back a lesbian. She can't have a husband anymore.
Well, which Becky? Which Becky are they going to bring back, you know?
I mean, how do you do this?
I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I mean, no matter what you think, it was one of the, you know, it was a groundbreaking sitcom. It was one, you know, in the discussion for top 10 of all time.
Yeah, well, okay, you just opened it up, top 10 all time. And I know you have some very, very, you're very opinionated when it comes to some of your favorite sitcoms. Stephen Thomas's Mount Rushmore of sitcoms includes?
Well, I think if you really step back, well, for me, it's Cheers and it's not even close. Now, there are other people that think there's other shows that are the greatest of all time, and that's totally okay because it's an opinion and they're allowed to be wildly, uncontrollably wrong. That's okay. But I think if you take emotion and everything out of it and you step back and you really want to legitimately, intellectually look at it, and you take into account longevity and ratings and was it funny to the end and, you know, all the things that make up, you know, the GOAT sitcom, there's really only five that fit all the bill in some order. It's Cheers, Seinfeld, MASH, All in the Family, and Friends.
Wow.
That's really it. I mean, now, half a tier down from that, there's a slew of shows, you know, Lucy, Cosby Show, Roseanne, Raymond, The Office, Modern Family, Golden Girls, Andy Griffith, Three's Company, you know, Mary Tyler Moore. There's a ton that are, but if you really step back and look at it, are you really going to put that tier in with those top five? Because, I mean, those are some that it's 20, 30, 40 years later, and it's still part of the everyday lexicon. You know, I
yeah,
mean,
no,
all,
you're right. You're right.
If you say, you know, yourself, even people that are 22 know what you're talking about. That kind of longevity is what separates the top tier from the rest. And I'm a guy that, you know, I grew up with sitcoms. And, you know, there's always been this thing in Hollywood about, oh, sitcoms, you know, TV is not a movie. You got to be in movies and you got to do serious work and you got to do. I love sitcoms because
sure.
It's part of Americana. I mean, it's part of how we all relax. And, I mean, think about how many great sitcoms have been on over the years. I mean, Newhart had two that could both be argued were in the top 10 in the Bob Newhart Show and Newhart. And I think, as much as I love Cheers, I think the finale of Newhart is the greatest finale in the history of television. When he gets hit in the head with the golf ball and wakes up in bed with Suzanne Plachette, that is, you can't top that. That's genius.
It's good stuff. Stephen, and you know, you are right. Now, one of the things with Cheers, though, is Cheers is one of those sitcoms. We talked about the two Beckys. You had, you know, you had two starring females in that. But little clip, I'm partial to Diane, but a little clip for those that forget, a little bit of Sam and Diane going at it.
You are the nuttiest, the stupidest, the phoniest fruitcake I ever met.
You stand alone on the most arrogant, self-centered...
Shut up! Shut your fat mouth.
Make you?
Wait, turn on. I'm gonna bounce you off every wall in this office!
Try it and you'll be walking funny tomorrow. Or should I say funnier?
You know, I always wanted to pop you one. Maybe this is my lucky day, huh?
You disgust me. I hate you.
Are you as turned on as I am?
More.
Stephen, that stuff, it never gets old.
Nope. Never gets old. That's the thing that separates the top tier in my mind. You can watch them. Like, I'll watch Cheers. I watch two every single night before I go to bed. It's what relaxes me. But my wife, I'll watch them sometimes during the day. And my wife will come in, and she'll look at me like I'm insane. She'll go, you laugh like it's the first time you've seen it. I don't even watch this with you. And I've seen this episode 27 times, you know? But I mean, how can you not? I mean, Sears was, you brought up the two, you know, when Shelley Long left. I think that actually was a great thing for the show, because the Sam and Diane storyline really couldn't go on much longer, you know, without starting the maybe another season two at the most. So the introduction of Rebecca allowed it to go another six seasons, you know.
Kept you with some belly laughs.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I mean, even like I said a little bit ago about the Archie Bunker voice, if you walk in and somebody goes, "Norm," everybody knows what you're talking about still to this day. And that's what separates the top tier from, you know, the How I Met Your Mother and 30 Rock and Honeymooners and Scrubs and you know, Spin City before Charlie Sheen. And I mean, these are fantastic sitcoms, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley. I mean, there's so many that are just hysterical. But top of all time, there's a separate tier. And in my mind, it's really only five.
Yeah.
And the most recent of those is Friends.
Yeah.
Don't try to be funny, will you, Meathead?
I mean, to me, if you ever say the word Meathead, that goes back to Archie. Me, now, that's you're a Cheers guy. I am partial to All in the Family. If I were to put my number one, I put All in the Family because I guess it was bigger at a time when I grew up. I think I'm slightly older than you, slightly. Well, maybe a lot more. I'm not sure. But I know that I'm a little older than you. And All in the Family was, you know, I remember that like it was yesterday. And I also know that, like, when I look at All in the Family, what's interesting to me with All in the Family is the way that television and radio and the media have changed over the years. The way they've changed, usually television and what they allow you to see has become edgier, but All in the Family couldn't be done today. It's over the top edgy in its innuendo, in its political incorrectness, and they could never make it today.
No, absolutely not. I mean, then, if you remember, even then, the first, might have been the whole first season, but I think it was only like the first six or eight episodes, they put up a warning, one of those, not offensive, but, sensitive content ahead. Don't watch if you're easily offended and that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but you're absolutely, you couldn't do it today. Because I think people that watch it today wonder how they got away with it. They were starting a conversation. They were showing the absurdity of, you know, certain beliefs and certain things to try to get a conversation started, to bring it to light, to bring it to the forefront. They weren't, I mean, yeah, Archie said some, if you take them out of context and just listen to the clip, he said some incredibly racist and sexist things. But
no,
reason they were saying it, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, hey, look at this racist joke that we're getting away with. It was, look how ridiculous this is. Let's talk about it, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's where things would get, if you will, mistranslated today.
Absolutely.
It was just trying to introduce a dialogue and showing America how ridiculous people with those thoughts really sounded, because they stuck it in front of your face each week, and you went, my gosh, are we this way? And I think it really kicked the door open to people starting to look at what was acceptable and what wasn't acceptable. And then, you know, and then you look at that show, you know, you mentioned some of the racist comments. One of my all-time favorites, and you'll remember, because Archie always had his thing with the African-Americans in America. And the one episode that I love, and I tried to do something similar to this myself, was when Sammy Davis Jr. was there, and Davis Jr. plants a kiss on Archie, and you see his face, and he almost goes nuts. I remember I did that in a comedy type of show in Tennessee, and I always kidded around that I had a problem with gay folk, and I don't today, but that was kind of a running joke that I had. And I remember I closed the show with having this gay man who I said I was didn't like, was afraid of, for the purpose of the bit. And he comes up to me at the end of the show, plants a kiss on me, and we go black.
And are you still in touch? Does he still send you Christmas cards?
Yeah, he actually slipped me a little tongue, and you know, if my wife's not home, he'll come over.
But it's that's the point. It's what you're trying to do.
Yes.
You know, and it's exactly like you said. It couldn't be made. The same could be said of a lot of the movies back then. I mean, look at the Bad News Bears.
Oh,
I mean, there's a spectacular sports movie, and you. There's no way you could make that movie today. No chance whatsoever.
And you're right. We're talking with Stephen Thomas here on the program. Fine comedian and actor, and makes you want to eat hot dogs. Why did I do that? Well, I don't know where I went there, Stephen. I apologize.
Many talents. I have many talents.
Yeah. But, you know, but there were absolutely some great all-timers. Now, I will tell you, I must thank you. I really do. I must thank you because I didn't realize it was coming on when you know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, you threw up there on Facebook or tweeted that you were looking forward to Brockmire. And I didn't realize it was coming out. And I watched it because I will tell you, that is like one of my new favorites on TV, period. And I love that show. And Azaria's fabulous in it.
Well, hey, that was what first drew me, because I read about it. You know, I'm out here, so I read, you know, Variety and stuff, and I knew a few months ahead of time that it was coming out, and I've always been a fan of Hank Azaria. I mean, how can you not? He's so versatile,
right?
And he's so funny, and a guy like me, who, you know, I'm not, you know, a leading man, you know, Hollywood hot guy, so I have to be able to do all different kinds of roles. He's kind of always been like a role model as an actor for me, because he's so funny in so many different ways. And you're right. I'm a little behind right now, so don't give anything away.
Oh, I won't.
I'm busy with graduation, but I think I'm like 3 or 4 episodes behind at this point. But that opening episode, I said, I'm hooked.
Yeah,
already.
It was amazing. And the season is done now, so you'll catch up. It's done now.
Right.
But, you know, they renewed for 2 more years before they were even done year one.
Well, it's brilliant. It's so funny. If for everybody watching and or listening, if you're not watching it, even if you're not a sports fan, I guess it technically is a sports show, but it's not really.
No.
It's more about the relationships. That's sports is just the background, you know. It's Azaria, and Amanda Peet is fantastic in it, and I can't even describe how funny it is. It is the dark side of really low level minor league baseball. If you're not watching it, throw it that and Veep and Silicon Valley and episodes and Trial and Error should be in everybody's DVR. You should watch all of those. They're hysterically funny.
And they're funny. And you know what? 2 weeks ago on the program, I don't know if you've gotten to this episode yet, if you got to the Kangaroo Court episode yet.
Yes, okay. I did that.
Well, I had on the show the gentleman who played the Japanese translator, Keisuke Iwashi. He was on the show 2 weeks ago. We were talking about it a little bit.
Oh, that was such a great episode.
Yeah, that was a funny episode.
Oh, the ending. I'm not going to give it away, but the ending with the closet was just... It was the only way it could have ended. I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard I thought I was going to miss something.
You know, and people, you know, here's what's funny. You know, you mentioned Hank Azaria in this, and he is brilliant. And, you know, I was driving in the car. We're talking with Stephen Thomas, fine comedian here. I was driving in the car, and one of my things on the weekend that I enjoy when I drive in the morning, and I get out early. I'm an early riser. I'm up at 5 o'clock every stinking day because that's my life, and I'm in bed by 8:30. But it's just what it is. And I listen to reruns of Casey Kasem, the countdowns.
Uh-huh.
They do these on Saturdays here in Vegas. The station does 80s reruns, and on Sunday they do 70s reruns for 2 hours from 8 to 10 in the morning. And I'm always out, and I love listening to them because it reminds me of when I was actually young, virile, strong, and all that stuff. And so I'm listening to one, and this I have a point here. And all of a sudden, here comes a song on the countdown from Tracy Ullman. And if we look back, you mentioned Hank Azaria, we know his Simpsons. And what a lot of people forget is when Fox with the Simpsons, that was originally part of the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah.
Was a bit in the Tracy Ullman show, who actually at one time had top 40 songs on the radio, was an all-around entertainer, and that's where that whole thing started. And I think, like, today they just know, oh, you know, the Simpsons been on for 25 years or whatever it is right now. And I don't know that a lot of people remember that's the show it was part of.
Yeah, yeah. It was originally a short on the Tracy Ullman Show, which was a fantastic sketch show for fans of TV. If you want to go back, I'm sure it's probably out there on Hulu or something like that. You can go back and find those old episodes. It was amazing. But that's how long Azaria has been, you know, like an acting hero, comedic acting hero to me. He was, a recurring character on Mad About You. I mean, obviously all of his Simpsons stuff. He was in The Birdcage. He was brilliant in The Birdcage. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not even going to try to list it because how many things has he done over the years. But if you're not watching Brockmire, you're missing out because it's the best Hank Azaria vehicle that I've seen.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. We didn't do this to do the tribute to Hank, but, you know, when talking about it, he's definitely, you know, he's a guy that I enjoy. Now, there was only one thing that I didn't enjoy with him, and that was in Along Came Polly and looking at his ass as he took off to the boat to do scuba. Scuba. You scuba.
But that was such a great character. Look to me in my eyeball. Do you like
scuba?
The hippo?
and he comes and finds him with the flippers flaring in the boat as he is snorkeling with his wife.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a little partial to that movie because I watch anything with Jennifer Aniston in it. There could be a show called Jennifer Aniston Sits in Quiet So He Quietly Reads a Book to Herself, and I'd watch it for 30 minutes every single week.
Hey, listen, she is, let's be honest, she is absolutely one of the most attractive women in America today, even at 50 or whatever she is these days. She's just gorgeous.
And very talented as well. Yes, but absolutely.
Now, if you watched everything, did you like her little striptease act in The Millers when they try to get away from the guys?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have that saved as a clip on my phone so I can watch it if I want. I have no idea. No, but I'll tell you how far back I go with Jennifer Aniston. You're old enough, you'll probably remember a show called Quantum Leap from the late 80s with Scott Bakula.
Yes.
And about 3-4 years, something like that, give or take, before Friends, she did a guest starring on that. She was like a nurse or something like that, and she was one of the main guest stars on the show. And this was, before she had the work done on her nose. And even then, I'm roughly the same age as her, so I was the perfect age to have a crush on her at that time, at that point in my life. And so I go all the way back. I think it was like 1988, 1989, something like that, when that episode. So I don't go all the way back to Parker Lewis Can't Lose because that show was incredibly awful. But I start with
her. You just mentioned the name. She was in that. Excuse me. She was in that with Scott Bakula. Do you remember the sports movie Bakula was in? Wasn't that Unnecessary Roughness or something like that?
Oh, yeah. It was Kathy Ireland.
Yeah. She was the kicker.
And, oh gosh, who's the other guy? Robert Loggia. Yeah.
Yes, Robert Loggia. He was the coach. He was the assistant coach, actually, right?
Bakula was the quarterback. He was like 30-year-old quarterback. Yeah,
he came back to school at 30-plus years old. Now there's some stupid good sports movies too.
Oh, that is one that you definitely have to take your brain out and put it on the table if you want to enjoy it because just goofy.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot of those. My wife gets mad at me because I like stupid sometimes. I don't want to tell her directly. That's part of why I married her. But, you know, I like stupid sometimes. I'm in trouble now because this is out there for the world. And what the one stupid movie she won't watch with me is Anchorman. She won't sit there. She won't do. She'll leave the room. And I'll say, sorry, I really want to watch this. It is just stupid fun. Check your brain at the door.
I thought you were going to go with Dumb and Dumber because I think if you're going to go stupid movies, that's got to be the king of all time.
Yeah, you're probably right, but that's not one that I would say that makes me stop. If I'm clicking through a channel, it makes me stop. Anchorman makes me stop.
Well, can't go wrong with Ron Burgundy. I mean, you know.
Hey, I just got a message on Facebook from our guy Mike in San Francisco. Aniston was also in the B-movie Leprechaun, stupid movie.
Who was?
He said that Jennifer Aniston was in a B-movie called Leprechaun. He said, very stupid movie.
I remember Leprechaun. I don't remember her being in that, though. Okay, now I'm going to have to go find that.
You'll have to go. Mike is usually a pretty good guy. He follows me and things. And you know, in fact, he follows me is good. It means he's probably more intellectually competent than most. But he could be wrong.
If we're going to go that way, okay, I'll back you up. We're riffing here. Oh, no. Yes, and I'll use my improv training. Yes, and.
Okay. Yeah, now you know what we're lucky about, Stephen? That we're about out of stinking time, and I don't know what we just talked about for an hour, but we've done it.
It's kind of like being at one of my stand-up shows.
No, but your stand-ups are great. Hey, let's remind people. Stephen Thomas has been my guest. He's a great guy. He's a comedian, an actor. He, for years, has done did a segment on my show, Here's the Thing. He still does that. You'll see him on Cleveland Browns boards all over the place and stuff. But what are you going to be performing anywhere where people could see you soon other than on a boat?
I will be in Vegas at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club coming up in this fall in October. But I do most of my. You're right. I do most of my my shows out on the water anymore. Taking my daughter out this week, this coming week, as a matter of fact, and for high school graduation present, her and one of her friends. So that'll be nice. But if you ever do want to find me, and I can't imagine why you'd want to, but if you do, just go to my website, middleagedmarriedguy.com. My schedule is on there, or you know, follow me on Twitter. At 15, Stephen 15, spell Stephen with a PH. It's 15, Stephen 15, at 15, Stephen 15. I do the Browns Daily Mock Draft. I do, you know, I write for foreverrebuilding.com. I have the, Here's the Thing is now on Armed Forces Radio around the world every day. You know, I mean, I'm just kind of all over the place. And, you know, every Tuesday night, you can find me at Scott Zavita Acting Studios on Larchmont in Hollywood. I'm just two discounts now.
There you go. Stephen, you know I always appreciate it, my friend. And please give my best to your lovely wife. Congratulate your daughter from me. And thanks, and we'll talk real soon.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Stephen Thomas with us on the program. And I'm just really happy that he's here. Nick's Just Saying, the podcast. You can catch it. We do it on Facebook Live, and then it's at Nick's Just Saying, the podcast.podbean.com. All coming up. Thanks for hanging out with us. Another one down and out. Thanks for being here with us.
Coming to you from studios in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, you've been listening to Nick's Just Saying, the podcast. Join Nick again next week for the show. You can download and listen to the show at nicksjustsaying.podbean.com and follow the show on Facebook at Nick's Just Saying the Podcast. You can also follow Nick's Just Saying on Twitter at Nick's Just Saying. Nick's Just Saying podcast talks about sports, entertainment, politics, and life with a laugh. All right, we got through this show today. I'm guessing we can all use a stiff drink about now. Just saying.
More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way, oh no. No, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was mine.